Here comes Chazzeri, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all. Chazzeri flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazzeri goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, River Park, El Paso, Blackstone. Really the greatest furniture store on the planet right here. And it's in California. It's in Fresno, right in our backyard. If you haven't been here, you're missing out because this is truly a remarkable place to hang out. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J, and Matt. Every time we come in and we walk, you and I walk the back just to see. It's new every time we come in.
All types of new displays, and a good afternoon to you, Pag Meter. Love Fashion Furniture and love the layout. Like I say, you can always find something new and unique as you travel throughout this palatial coliseum of furniture.
You know what I hear from people as they walk in? They got to get a tables and chairs. They walk in, they go, oh, I didn't know you had that. And they start, their mind goes to somewhere else, and all of a sudden it just opens up like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's like going to Costco to pick up a bag of pistachios, and you come home with $300 worth of other grocery items because you didn't know what a variety you have at the big club store.
Now, one thing, the Fashion Furniture, you have to use the facilities. Is I went before, and after 3 minutes, the lights go off, and I thought the power went off again. So they've got it censored. If you're past 3 minutes, you're on your own. You're in the dark.
Energy savings. Yeah. If you have to be in there for longer than 3 minutes, you might want to consult with your doctor. And that's where I believe you need to go, Pag Meter. I've
so
noticed
true.
That about you.
So true.
Is he done yet? What is going on?
Well, today's show, we got a good one. We got a lot of great guests. Mike Palacy was going to join us, but he's going to be next week.
Okay.
So, City-County basketball,
City
May
County
11th.
City-County basketball next Saturday.
Four big games starting at 2 o'clock at the Bullard High School gym. He's going to run down the rosters with you next week and all that. Also today, we're going to have Bob Kajanian is going to join us, talk about Valley Championship and Section Championship softball, Bulldog Diamond.
Yeah,
on May 17th and 18th.
His staff of people are getting out there and making things happen. That's what I love about Bobby.
Yeah, and if Jerry Dyer is listening, who's a big... He loves our show. We text all the time. We got to get him out there. And people don't realize the former, he's going to retire, the chief of police, Jerry Dyer, who's one of the greatest fast pitch softball in we've ever had in the Valley history. He used to throw gas back in the day. So hopefully he can come through one, maybe the first pitch in one of those games.
Yeah, and it's good to see a chief of police stay in shape. Every time I see him, I always want to, you know, latch onto those Popeye forearms and let him know that it's great to see a man who stays motivated to stay in shape.
He was very I played with him for 3 years. We played softball with him for 3 years, and he was something.
Yeah,
I mean, he was
he went in one direction, and then you went in the other. It's too bad for the Pag Meter. It
so
worked
true.
Out for him.
So
you're
true.
Still trying to find your place.
That's right. And people say that. You know, my old wide receiver, Rex Hudler, he's now the color for the Kansas City Royals. And you and I are going to be broadcasting the Valley Championships of high school baseball. I think I won out.
I'd rather be doing high school baseball than
the Royals.
One of my favorite evening events is doing the high school City County All-Star Baseball game. And then, of course, the Valley Championship of baseball and the divisional championship games. Love baseball this time of year.
Well, you don't even know your schedule because I have your schedule in front of you where you're going to be. But May 17th, we're going to be doing the Division II Section Championship baseball game at Fresno State. And then Saturday night, we'll be doing the Valley Championship game at Fresno State. You and I will be doing the City-County All-Star Baseball game at Chicxulub, not on radio, but we'll be behind this mic where we're throwing papers everywhere. And we need to video that.
And you've already negotiated all these items.
Yes. And then... Monday, we're talking the City-County All-Star football game that you and I are going to do on the radio. So I've got your schedule all set. So you just get in the car. We take
somewhere
you for
a ride. Am I going to be able to sandwich a little coaching stint? Because, you know, I do coach a little football.
Oh,
it's getting close.
It's summertime.
Spring football is all wrapping up for some, starting for others. Track and field is gearing up now for league championships as they roll into the area championships. And then the big Masters, Grand Masters of Valley at Buchanan will be coming up, too. That's getting exciting. And, of course, volleyball. Let's not forget about boys volleyball now. And I have a special interest, obviously, as I had in boys soccer, too. But my Madera South Stallions play tonight. St. Joseph's, Santa Marita, comes in to Madera to take on the number one-seeded Madera South Stallions in Division II. Division I, of course, Clovis North. Wow, it is really shaping up to get to be exciting this time of year.
St. Joseph, big listener to our show. The Knights will be here tonight, taking on Madera South. Madera South, number one in Division II. So the playoffs are rolling.
And in that Division II playoff, let's not forget about the Edison Tigers. You've got to give them a little respect. The fact that they knocked off what I thought it was going to be, Madera South in the finals against the Central Grizzlies. But the Edison Tigers put a little number down on Central, and now the Edison Tigers are waiting for the winner of St. Joseph's and Madera South tonight in Division II.
One thing I've learned about volleyball, it is a momentum sport. If you win, let's say, the first two sets, you take a little off, and all of a sudden, oh, we're up 2-0. I've seen teams come back, and you get that momentum, and you can't get the momentum back. If you got a team down 2-0, go for it.
Especially since, you know, it's been years and years now, but from the rule of you know, every serve counts as points, whether you're on the receiving end or giving the serve. There's side out, getting the ball back in your hands to serve is still very important, but the bottom line is you get points on every time the ball is into play.
If you're a digger in that back row and you can get that 86-mile-an-hour serve on the pag meter speed gun and you can pop it back up to your guys and set it up, that's why the good teams are good, because they can go back and take that serve and get it going again. There's some teams where I've seen them serve and you get 5 points just like that.
That's correct.
So yeah. We're also going to talk with Scott McKinney today.
Yeah.
Big tournament on Saturday. You and I are going to be playing in. I think we're the favorites, Matt, out of Madera Country Club.
Yep, and he might bring his other family member, Kevin McKinney, with him, too.
Yeah.
Kevin McKinney for the last month has been what you've called Scott McKinney.
Scott
McKinney, we can't wait to see you, Scott.
And he's got the who's who. If you're a Madera Hall of Famer, you're playing in this tournament. You want to get out to the Madera on Saturday. And last year, you and I played in it, and this is when the baseball and softball seedings are coming out. And I'm sitting in the dugout, in the golf cart, doing all the seedings for everybody. So Saturday, and we're going to talk about that today, Matt, what your feel is for the coaches who vote for the seedings. I personally hate it. I don't like it, because what does Riverdale Cowboys know anything about the Boron Bobcats? And you're going to vote where Boron should be in the tournament is ridiculous.
Sure, and I'll probably take the other side of that argument, because who else other than the coaches would have at least a general idea of everyone that is participating in their division for whatever sport you're involved in? I think it's a good idea.
Well, we're going to talk about that today, but my idea is have a committee. I want a committee. I want a guy from the High Desert League, Central Coast, Trevor Horn from the Bakersfield, California, he shows up. We get the PAG meter, maybe another one around here, two or three, and we sit down. We don't need the CIF because they're busy enough. They got to handle all the transfers and everything. And then we come out and we tell them this is what we decided. It's a no-brainer. I know Jim Critchlow's listening.
Yep.
We need to perform a committee. The coaches isn't going to work. The reason why, Matt, the South Valley doesn't have enough votes compared to the North schools. And they don't get – all of a sudden they're like, hey, what happened? Well, the North schools don't see the South.
Yeah.
We don't see the Central Coast. The Central Coast doesn't see the Central Valley. So I don't like it. We want a committee. I'm going to –
I could buy that. I mean, I could see that happening. You know, little birdie on the wall says you had an opportunity to sit in on with the athletic directors and the CIF director, Jim Critchlow.
I was hoping
that you had an opportunity probably to say something, but according to my sources, you clammed up like a, like a church mouse and sat there and took it all in, but you never had a chance to deliver your message.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I did. I was quiet. I listened. I was hoping for a fisticuffs fight with two ADs or something. It was so nice. I wasn't prepared for that. I was waiting for someone throwing a Pepsi can across the building, but nothing. They're nice. It was a quick meeting. There was no. I know they did talk about divisional, and I think they have until May 3rd. So if teams were, let's say in San Joaquin Memorial Football, this petition to move up to D2.
Yeah.
They have until May 3rd to say, no, we want to stay, or that's okay with us. Yeah. So there's a lot of teams moving up and moving down.
And I don't know if there's a lot of listeners out there on a different subject that are thinking, what are they up to? What are they doing? This is not athletics. This is not sports. For two times now, we've entertained quality, best of the best robotics teams on our show. And, of course, last weekend, we had this Madera parade for our Madtown robotics team that came home from Houston, Texas as the world champions. I do believe it belongs in the world of sports talk because it encompasses everything. If you're going to talk auto racing as a sport, if you're going to talk about throwing darts as a sport, billiards, bowling, certainly robotics is more than meets the criteria as a great sport.
ESPN has poker on the big screen.
There you go.
So
is that everyone needs to lay off a little bit. Someone just from our communities and our valley brought home, I don't know, how'd you do, Millie, when you were a young kid? And I didn't win much, but I did one year bring home a world championship, 4,000 schools involved,
yeah,
4,000 competitors. Madera Madtown Robotics came back, and Jim Costa took it all the way to Washington, D.C. to make that announcement in front of everyone around America, how proud he is of what's going on in our local valley. Madera,
this is why we're the number one local sports show, Matt. We do it all. A to Z. We had Tessa Montpierre on. She's going to be the future American Idol. So we talked. She came in here and sang on our show. First person ever sing on our show.
Unbelievable vocal talents. A great spokesperson. Very talented, multifaceted young athlete student.
We're also going to catch up with Aaron Hall, who plays and pitches for the Minarets Mustang. Today, after this show, I'm driving up to Minarets. I'm going to be the PA announcer for their Military Appreciation Day. We're going to catch up with Aaron Hall, who's going to West Point. Might have heard of that.
Well, what can you tell me about the Central graduate pitcher for the Boston Red Sox? I mean, holy cow,
Marcus
out of Fresno
Walden.
City. Yeah, in 4-0, 1.63 ERA.
Last year, Marcus, former Central Grizzly and Fresno City Rams, he was up and down. He was one of those guys. He's, Marcus, we need you for a week. And then he goes back down, up. I think he's going to stay now. Great kid. Boston loves him. I was there last year with Gianna in Fenway when they called him up. So we got to hang out and talk to him. And
awesome.
Great family. So I'm hoping he sticks, but he's on fire right now. And
is he the highest right now achiever local Valley product in Major League Baseball? He's getting a lot of exposure at 4-0, getting another win.
Did you consider Aaron Judge a local guy? I don't know. He's pretty big.
Well, you have to consider Aaron Judge a local guy. I was kind of going towards the world of high school athletics.
Justin Wilson, pitching for the Mets. I think he's got to be one of the best, too. You know, he's still doing fantastic, Justin Wilson. Setup man for the Mets. A couple things I want to pick your brain with.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Allison, superstar linebacker for the Bulldogs. I think, did he get bad advice to go in the NFL draft? He didn't get what he wanted?
Well, clearly, in my experience, all the kids, when I say all, I obviously don't mean all. I'm using that as a metaphor, a baby. But, yeah, of course he did. But doesn't everyone, when you get to that level of where you start asking questions, there's always that one person that you believe means well and is in your corner, but they're going to tell you, absolutely, you are the, you need an honest appraisal, and I'm sure he got that. The problem with Jeffrey Allison is, and I'm seeing this more and more.
So I ask you, Matt, because you're the guru when it comes to recruiting.
Well, I think more and more you saw it in this year's draft. You see it every year, actually, where numbers become so, the general managers and the people that make the decisions, the player personnel directors and the scouting department get so wrapped up in those physical numbers, height, weight, reach, vertical jump, 40-yard dash times and all that. And Jeffrey Allison was never going to do well in that type environment. How about this concept, though? And I know when I got drafted, I told all of the scouts and the people I talked to during my time, can you measure what I got going on inside? Maybe you might want to watch my videotape. Am I showing up a lot on the screen? That means I've got great angles, great attack. Can I run a 4.440 and be the fastest corner or safety in this draft? No. But you can count on me every day. I'll be reliable, and I certainly will contribute to your football team if given the chance. I think a lot of times these great, talented players like a Jeffrey Allison get overlooked in the draft because he was undersized, he didn't have the measurables, and he certainly didn't do well at the pro day and the combine as far as running fast. And there has to be room still left for those who understand the game and can go play physical, tough, downhill football and pursuit of the football with relentless, you know, obsession. And I think that's what makes Jeffrey Allison a guy who's going to stick somewhere.
You know what I'd like to see? If Jeffrey Allison had the option, without signing for an agent, have the option. Well, I didn't like where I went. I'm going back to college.
I think, don't they have that option, though? I thought that was the new rule that passed.
No,
once I go through the cycle.
You have to declare.
But once you declare.
You're done.
Yeah, that needs to be changed.
If you don't sign for an agent.
Yeah, because if you haven't signed with an agent and declared yourself. Yeah. Even if you did sign with an agent. Another one of those NC2A madness. You know, the communism and the great, you know, red wall of NCAA and how they set rules and infractions and what's fair and not is ridiculous, because kids need to sign with the agent. How else are you going to start getting the process prepared? However, I believe that needs to be looked at.
Once money exchange hands, you're all done.
Once money exchanges hands, I still don't believe you should be done, but you should have an opportunity to get back in to college.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, Bobby Kay is going to join us, Aaron Hall, Scott McKinney, we got plenty. And, then, of course, your phone calls about seedings. I want to know what you guys all think, because the seedings is really judged by coaches in your division. And you're gonna, and each coach will rank his division. We're going to talk about that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We are live at Fashion Furniture. This is your Rise Show.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Our own Bobby, Matt, we got to take care of Bobby now. His future fiance, Betsy's moving to San Francisco. So we got to make sure he's okay.
Is she going to date Bobby Bonds, or why is she going to San Francisco?
Might have heard of the San Francisco Giants, probably. Where is she working?
Olympic Club.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
And did I say Bobby Bonds? Yeah. What made me throw Bobby Bonds? What the heck?
I don't even know you said it. I don't know.
With all respect, is Bobby still alive?
Yeah, no.
Didn't he pass?
Yeah.
I do apologize. Truly, sincerely. I meant to say Barry Bonds, because that's who the Giants need back in their lineup.
Well, we're here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, the best furniture store. They got a whole new recliner section going on right now. Rod and the family, wow, they got it going on. Matt, speaking of the Giants, I want to talk a little NBA and the Giants right now before we get to sports, but the Giants, maybe the best defensive team in baseball.
Very possibly, yes.
Pitching staff can hang with anybody in baseball.
No question.
The offense, the worst in the last 30 years. Okay, so every player in that Giant starting lineup would be a number 8 hitter in any other team, and Posey would be a number 7 hitter. They're horrible. They can't hit, but if you're a Giant fan, you already know that. But they can pitch. If it's 1-1 in the 8th inning, you're in trouble. Because they're going
to find a way
to
slow down the best team in baseball, 2 out of 3, and the Dodgers. So
this is what I don't get. The Dodgers are clearly a better team.
It's like when USC plays Fresno State. You don't know what you're going to get. Just cancel all records, throw everything out the window. It's going to be a ball game. Same goes for the Giants and the Dodgers.
Bumgarner pitching, and when it's 1-1, like I said, in the 8th and 9th inning, it's close. The Giants always have the edge. It's just going to be one of those years, Giant fans. You're not going to have a lot of big 10-2 wins. It's just going to be if you get.
And I don't see anything happening in the near future for them to get out of this little rut. I've always said, though, once you've won a World Series, then you win another World Series, and you become
that team,
the talk of Major League Baseball. You're due for a good 20-year layoff, because they deserve. You know, we got what we wanted, and now we can accept that it might not be good for a while.
Well, I think the Giants and the Angels have zero chance of making the playoffs. It's just going to be one of those years. Sorry, Giant fans, but it is what it is. I just think the other teams in front of them have too much and are going to wear you down. Again, it's baseball. You win 50, you lose 50. It's the other 62 games. You got.
And what are the chances of Cody Bellinger batting 400 this year?
Zero chance he's going to bat 400. He's got the greatest uppercut swing you've ever seen. God, I love how he swings. He goes for the downs on every pitch.
Yeah, he
basketball-wise, it's going to be a good series. Can Houston hang with the Warriors, or this?
Well, they've hung in 2 straight games with all kinds of ups and downs. They have to obviously take care of the basketball. The turnover margin is too great right now, and they're going to get a chance to go back home in front of that crazy crowd on Saturday and try to get themselves back in the series. If not, you know, cancel all playoffs for them. It's over. But I like the way the Warriors, once again, they have all of the names. We already know who they are. But they play hard. And when they're playing hard like that and playing defense like that, no one's beating them.
No, I totally agree. You look at the everyone, oh, the officials, this and that. What's the toughest call in NFL, in any football game? What's the toughest call? We see it all the time.
In football?
Yeah.
Because probably pass interference.
Pass interference. It seems like every play in basketball, it could be pass interference. You don't know. Did he get his arm? Did he get his wrist? Is that a foul? I can't tell. The referees, that might be the toughest sport to call, don't you think?
No, I don't.
What's the toughest then?
I could call probably three or four that become the toughest, in my opinion.
Well, name a sport tougher than basketball.
To call? Officiate?
Yeah, because, let me just tell you this. Baseball, you have to call every play. Ball or strike, safe or out. Every play.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good. Those umpires are pretty good. Even in high school, the SJVOA, those guys do a great job.
I think basketball, from all elements of what the game brings to you as an official, would probably be, yes, probably the hardest calls to make. But what if you showed up in the arena and you just said, hey, I'm not going to call anything unless I see it's blatant.
You don't have to.
I don't understand the calls that are called simply because the player drove to the basket, was in crowd, and automatically the whistle's blowing. I don't. To me, if life would be a lot easier on an official if he didn't make a call for the sake of making a call. Because if you made a call and replay shows that it was not a violation, an infraction, there was no touching, there was nothing, then what were you really looking at?
Well,
you were assuming that because the guy, i.e., Mr. Harden of Houston, who is the worst violator of this, is trying to create some contact, and you're going to bail him out and send him to the free throw line because you thought there was something there. Why not make the call? I think that's what's happening. With his backlash to the National Basketball Association of officials about how they got jobbed in Game 1, in his opinion, I think now you're starting to see that's how you want to operate. We sent you to the free throw line more than any player in the National Basketball Association, and now you're complaining? Okay, let's let it get a little more physical the way the game should be called. And now what do they have left?
I totally agree.
If he's not going to the line 15,
totally
20 times a game, they got nothing.
Totally agree. And this is why basketball is the toughest. This is every play's like pass interference. You don't know. And they call it. Sometimes they call it. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. But football-wise, if you're having a bad day, and well, before that, basketball, we see it in high school where you got that one dominating official and the other two just walking around. He's called 90% of the fouls, and let Jethro go over there. Let him call all the games. But football, if you've had a bad day at work and you're going to come out and do a football game, you don't have to call anything. He was offside, so I'm going to let it go. There was holding, but I'm not going to call it. You don't have to call anything. But basketball, I like when they let them play a little more. Those are the best officials.
I do. I don't know, because I've only done it at the youth level and times dabbling with Parks and Recreation as a kid growing up officiating. It has to be extremely difficult. But I remember as a young kid, I'm talking about coming back from USC for the summer and then getting involved in working some games, officiating down at Balboa at Parkway Gym downtown and all that. I found out that the easy way to get out of it is if it doesn't look blatant, I'm not calling it. Let it play. Let it go. And I see a little ticky-tack where you could really – there's no sport, by the way, in my opinion, other than basketball where an official – can truly control, almost literally control the outcome of a game if they want to get really chippy with their calls.
And it seems like it's always that one official.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen it? Oh, there he goes again. He's calling everything.
Yeah.
He's all over the place. Yeah, I don't know. I just like when they play. A couple stories, Matt, I think were big this week. Clovis Cougars did something that may never happen again. Baseball, Noah Beal. Throws a no-hitter, eight-inning no-hitter against Clovis West, beats them 1-0. About 3 hours before that, Allie Puentes throws a no-hitter against Central, and they win 1-0.
So you got a baseball and a softball no-hitter.
Same day. Same day, yeah. That might never happen again. How about that?
That's a good one you called on there. That's Yeah.
The other one is a Central Section record, the Kerman Lions baseball team. 10 straight years, North Sequoia League Championship. That is a record. How about that? Good job, Kerman Lions. What do you think of that? 10 straight years you win league.
I think it's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, what am I going to say to that? Absolutely. As you say, congratulations.
Yeah, no
That's consistency, and that's getting it done.
Jay Pruce started it. Coach Coleman keeps it going. The other one, you remember him, Darrell Edwards, former Fresno High Warrior, has transferred from LSU. He's going to play Fresno State basketball now. So, guy could shoot back in the day. So,
When you say back in the day, it couldn't have been that far back in the day.
3-4 years ago.
Coming here to play college basketball.
Well, we saw him play. Like,
yeah, I could shoot back in the day, too. That's my day. We're talking 30 years ago.
He was a Warrior, 3-4 years ago?
Okay.
And he could shoot.
Darrell Edwards.
So, yeah. So
coming back.
Yeah, so we'll see.
See that a lot lately. A lot of kids are coming back.
I think it's nothing wrong with going to Fresno State anymore.
How about a national news in the world? Let's start. Two track and field big stories out of the state of Texas. Young high school sprinting sensation goes 9.98 seconds in the 100 meter, fastest of all time. Now it was wind aided, but all conditions, wind or no wind, 9.98. Is it fair to say, or is it improper to say, he's a white boy? Yeah, how many guys have you seen run like that in that 100 meters under 10 seconds?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now just think if he was in California and he flinched just a lick, he's just qualifying. He has to go home.
Well, the other big track and field story is out. Is it Monrovia, Nick? The two girls that got disqualified rest of the season, and they were the favorites in the state in the 4x100-meter relay team, and they are involved in, and it's a three-day meet. It goes on a Tuesday, and I believe it ends on a Friday for their championships. And their coach entered them in five events. And you're only allowed by National Federation of High School Sports to run in four events. They ran in five events, which means they're disqualified. It means that the rule is you're no longer allowed to run for the rest of the year. You're done. That's it. You're the number one and two ranked athletes in the state. Your 4x100-meter relay team is ranked number one in the state, and that team has been decimated by one failure. Shouldn't that be on the school or on the coach to be punished? Why would you punish a high school kid for
that? I'm writing that in as one of the dumbest rules I've ever heard in my whole life. That is with track and field. On a false start, you're disqualified.
Calabasas. The Calabasas girls track team was devastated. And it was one thing. What I always go to is in the spirit of these rules of high school athletics, and for the most part, they're there for great reasons. Safety, number one, of our student-athletes. But don't you have an area that you can say, okay, look, in the spirit of the rule, it's not like it was all in one day. You run on one day in the prelims, and you come back for the finals, and we've got them entered in a variety of events. Don't you think you could have fought that? Apparently, it's a done deal. They're disqualified for the rest of the year.
Well,
they don't get their state dreams of track and field championships to be fully realized.
Can't the guy with the red jacket and the white pants, who's got a little mustard stain on those white pants because he had a hot dog about an hour before with the white hat, go over there and go, hey, Gary, it seems to me you entered in five events. You know that's illegal. You want me to erase one? Oh, yeah, let's the high jump. Yeah, we'll get rid of those. Okay, yeah, you're good. Next. How tough would that be?
First of all, that's not his call to make, and I love your references to the guys in the red hats and the red jackets.
They always have a mustard stain on their pants, though.
No.
Can't have a hot dog in white pants. That's what I've learned.
In all fairness to that crew, we're trying to bring in new bodies for that, too, because for a lot of the men and women who work that event, it's hard for them to hang on to a hot dog, let alone not get mustard on their pants. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. That is an area. You might want to talk to SJVOA. Who governs that area? Because they're in need of more officials.
Well, nobody wants to wear it. You look like you're in a barbershop quartet band afterwards.
Yeah. Well, we got one of the best in the business, Mr. Pisano, who goes everywhere. Son ran miles at Clovis High School. He's a great hurdler, great athlete. Is now working, I believe, in the Highway Patrol. He works them all. And then he's going to the Monterey today, and he's coming back to – he's here tonight and for the CMAC Championships. These guys have a circuit. There's clearly not enough of those red jackets running around.
Well, if I had a red jacket on with the white hat and the white pants and the red shoes, I don't even know what kind of shoe. Maybe it's white shoes with red socks.
Typically black shoe, but could be white or black.
And some guy flinches, and we all know it. I'm going to go over and blame myself. Hey, sorry, that was my fault on the gun. Let's redo it again. I'm not sending a guy home. I'm sorry. But that's what I do.
I agree. Common sense. Back to the state championships a few years ago that I was there, and the family came up from San Diego to see their son run, and he was the top four, one of the top 400-meter runners. And false start. And he got the rude red card in his face and had a turnaround.
Well, not only that,
no
I remember he ran over 40 yard miles an hour and threw it in his face.
Like, oh, yeah, got it right in his face, and he was done. Pack up the gear. Go check out of the hotel room a night early and head back to San Diego. Can you imagine that drive home? You trained your whole career for that state championship match, and you're out.
Is that the dumbest rule in the history of high school sports?
I believe it is. I believe it's one of the cruelest sports. In the spirit of what we're trying to do with these great student-athletes, to me, psychologically speaking, I don't think there's an offense that you can do with an honest mistake that carries that much weight through your whole senior year, your whole high school career, for that matter, could be shattered in one moment of a flinch of a leg, and you're sent home packing.
How would you like to be in a baseball game? You're playing shortstop, ground ball to shortstop. Oh, it's an error. You, son, have to go. Get out of here. You're done. You made an error. We got to send you home. Get your bag. Get out.
Brilliant analogy.
Same thing.
Yeah. That's it. Really, in the big picture, that's what we're talking about. You're in the you're in the Valley Championships of Baseball. Grounder comes, kicks it off his heel. Error.
Or struck out.
And then someone comes out, gives him the card in his face, and doesn't give him explanation, but he already knows. He puts his head down, walks ashamed to the dugout, and he's going home.
Makes no sense. And I'm hoping not, because we know the CIF office listens
to us. One against the field. I understand there's no better place for track and field in the entire state of California, if not America, for the big track meets. We stage the greatest track meets. Brian Weaver and other coaches all over the Valley, I'm amazed at how well they organize these track meets. I think we can afford an extra 2 to 4 minute, you know, overage because of time. That's why they have – that's the only reason they could come up with is that, well, in the interest of keeping these track meets flowing, because they can be long, we all know that, in the interest of the student-athlete, which is priority job number one, let's take one against the field, the next guy who moves, then it's ejection time. And by the way, the girls out of Calabasas who just – also got removed from the track team because they were in five events. That might be the third worst rule in all of high school. Why can't I run in five events?
Why,
I'm the greatest sprinter in the state or America. I also can long jump and triple jump. I'm Jenna Prandini.
Yeah.
If Jenna Prandini wanted to enter one more event, she could have single-handedly maybe won the state championship for Clovis High. When you have a spectacular talent, what is so wrong? And I was a track guy. So in the decathlon, I can run in five events at Olympic Games on one single day, come back the next evening and gear up for five more events. But in the world of high school athletics, we can't ask a student athlete to compete potentially in five events. What could be the harm there? I don't get it.
The other one, let me ask Matt Johnson, because you might know this, and Bobby's in the house too. It's basketball season. You're almost playoff time. In fact, it is playoff time. You're playing for your school. You got a big game on Friday night, but Saturday baseball's going on, and they got a doubleheader. And I'm a baseball player. How come I can't play that baseball game on that Saturday? How come I have to finish basketball season first? Because I got a lot of emails. They want to know why. Shouldn't it be between the school or the coaches, in my opinion? This is Gary, the basketball coach. I know you got a doubleheader tomorrow. Carl really wants to play baseball. I'm going to let him play. Is that okay?
Well, here's the reason why I would think. I'm not in the room to make that call, but once again, it's the spirit of the law. The spirit is right. The spirit is good. Take care of the athlete. Take care of the student athlete. If they're asked to do too much, that is wear and tear on the body, and it becomes this level of, are we overusing our students? Are we so involved in the art of winning and competing that we lose sight of the fact that he's a student, has to go to class, he has to do homework, he has to keep his body in good shape because you've got him doing this, that, and the other thing? I agree with that. My point is this, always. When you have it's like paying college athletes. Reggie Bush was paid, or his family was paid, apparently by an agent. What is wrong with that? If you're that good and some clown wants to walk up to me and say, you know what, I like you and I want to give your mom and dad a new apartment. If it's not affecting or giving you an unfair advantage on the football field or on the back, what does it matter? And if you're good enough to be able to do what you just said you can do, then I think that comes down to a parent decision.
Then what's the difference between less?
But we're trying to save overall the body of work, which is compare all student athletes instead of the one or two exceptions you're talking about.
Well, Jalen McMillan last year played baseball center field for Sales.
Wait a minute.
But then he walked across the street to run in the track. What's the difference?
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's a very very good
call.
You
didn't think that one through, did you?
No, I did think that one through. I did think that one through. That was very good.
Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Let's talk with Bobby Kay. The Valley Championships are May 17th, May 18th at Bulldog Diamond. We're going to talk softball right now. We've got some plans for you. If you're a softball, you want to listen in. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's the Pack Meter. It's Matty J. Matt Johnson here at the best furniture store. And we appreciate Fashion Furniture being our partners. Hanging out with the number one local sports show there is on the planet. And we do it all. We talk local. And we got all the subjects today. We got Bobby Kay in the house. Bob Kajanian. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me okay?
Like you're sitting right next to me. Matty J, another year. We got another year. We're literally 2 weeks away from the championship of high school and softball. Isn't that amazing?
The year has gone by very quickly, and unfortunately, these next 2 weeks are cramming and coming fast.
And the sad thing is we still don't have a state playoff for baseball softball.
It's coming.
Well, I've been hearing that since 2008.
Well,
it's coming.
For another year.
Yeah. I want to see it, but we got some really good teams in baseball, softball. You're involved with the softball. I know you got a big announcement to make for some of the time changes.
In softball, we had a nice meeting on Tuesday this week with Fresno State. We got baseball all squared away. And Jim Critchlow made the announcement that to avoid any kind of conflict with our Division One people, because it looks like, you know, Buchanan is going to be in the number one slot in both those sports. The Division One softball championships this year will be played on Friday night, and the Division One baseball championships will be played on Saturday night.
And both at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it's...
Boy, you just gave a lot of incentive to the other 15 teams in each division. Well, Buchanan's the number one seed, so that's going to fire up a lot of teams.
Well, I'm not saying Buchanan's the number one seed. I am saying they are in position in all the rankings, including one PAG meters,
yes,
that they're the number one team.
If Buchanan wins tonight against Clovis North in softball, they are clearly the number one team and the track champions. They have to win tonight.
I thought they'd wrap the track championship
up
with the win last
Tuesday. Baseball. Baseball wrapped it up. Softball, if they win and if they lose and Clovis wins, they'll be a co-champ because they both split each other. Right, Matt?
You are correct, my friend.
So, that being said, how many games are there Friday night at Bulldog Diamond on the 17th? Two or three?
On baseball, there are two.
Softball, three?
Baseball's softball's two as well.
Okay, so 6 o'clock or 6 o'clock game?
We're looking at like 4:30 and 7 on softball. I'm not really sure how we're going to do that yet because we got a major curveball tossed at us on Tuesday and was confirmed again today that Fresno State has put in to host what is equivalent to the NIT in basketball. Softball is having a similar...
On that same weekend?
Same weekend.
Oh, no.
And so Fresno State, with their young softball team, has put in a bid to host. The NC2A will make that decision on Sunday the 12th.
What would Plan B mean?
Plan B is going to be we look for somewhere else, but most likely we're not going to find it because of the lateness. So, worst-case scenario, the teams would have to go back and play the games on their home diamonds.
Or we move it to one of the Clovis schools.
That's not in my hands.
Yeah.
So, I leave that to the powers to be.
Just think about if it is at Bulldog Diamond for high school. There's going to be a packed house both nights. There's nothing like high school. High school's booming around here. Just like I was telling Matt for baseball, there'll be 4,000 people on a Saturday night on the Division I championship. 4,000 people at Bulldog at Pete Biden Field, just like softball. So, you know, we'll see what happens. That's going to be an interesting call. I would like to see Division VI Saturday, Friday night, 6 o'clock. And the reason why, because all the Division VI have told me that Saturday night's a conflict. You won't have anybody on if there's a Division VI game on Saturday night. So I'm hoping Division VI is before the Valley Championship game.
I believe Mr. Critchlow will take all that stuff into consideration and keep, you know, before it was 6-1.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, he's moving that over in that direction as well. I tell you what, it's going to be kind of a little disheartening if we have to move it from Fresno State because, you know, Pagmeter, I made that huge mistake last year of not playing the national anthem before the second game of the evening session. And our kind people from Clovis and Buchanan decided to sing the national anthem themselves. Well, with that enthusiasm, here's what I added to the softball championships this year. In the bottom of the fifth inning, which traditionally is like the bottom of the seventh inning in a professional game, they always sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So what we're going to do is we'll have one of our sponsors, a la Harry Carey style, grab the stadium mic and lead the folks into singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Well, I recommend Tess Montpierre singing one of the national anthem. She's only the best in California. She goes to Clovis North. The best, Matt, do you agree with that? We got to get Tess singing. He's eating pizza right now, so yes. So that one of those nights, you got to have her sing the national anthem. Tess is the best.
Well, that would be great if we could make those arrangements and...
I'll make sure that happens.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So we've got playoffs starting again, seeding. Do you like the coaches the way you like coaches seeding these things, or would a committee be better?
I can see it both ways, but here's what I tell you about having the coaches do it. If they're going to complain, they're going to complain to each other. That's my take on it. They know the people in their division.
They don't scout the
people in their division.
And that's where you're wrong. Do you think Riverdale knows anything about Trona? What? Trona? Where's that at?
I can tell you this.
We're going to play them? I don't even know who that is.
If they're going to play Trona, they'll know all about them.
No, come on.
Well, in the perfect world, Nick, you would have a representative for everything that would have the entire lay. But the coaches, for the most part, and I agree with Bob, not just only on the aspect of, you know, if they're going to complain, they've got coaches to complain to. You guys are the ones who put us up to this. But for a long, long time, the coaches have always wondered, why are we not involved in the process, right? Why don't we have our coaches poll? We do know, unbeknownst to you, Nick, we know a little bit about just about everybody in the Valley. We really do. They watch film because when you're transferring film over from one school, from another school, guess who's on the film? The other team. Oh, we might see them later. Let's catalog that in our library. Everybody has a pretty good idea of everything. No one has the complete picture like you do, Pagmeter, but we're pretty good at it.
Well, I think the CIF did this, and if Jim's listening, he can email me. They didn't want to be the bad guys in here. Every year they got complaints. Oh, how in the world do you put them at 5 seed over that? We should be. They said, you know what? Let the coaches do it.
Well, I just don't know.
Our section is too big anymore. We don't see the 128 teams anymore. So we've got to do another system. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. There's too many teams, especially in Division VI, that are scattered thousands of miles and never seen each other.
Well, you just need to do your job a little better, Pagmeter, because a lot of us rely on what you have to write about each team, and a lot of the stuff you put down on paper is really good stuff. Some of it is you pulled it right out of your cuckoo's nest. But we're relying on the Pagmeter. There's no more Fresno B. There's no one else reporting on this stuff. So I suggest you expand your business, keep more spotters out there on the field,
and give
us good intel, because we can do it as coaches.
Okay, Bob K. Janian in the house. So we don't know yet. When are we going to know May 17th and 18th is going to be at Bulldog Diamond or not? When's the official cutoff date?
The NC2A will make the announcement on who the host schools will be on Sunday, May the 12th.
Oh, jeepers. So the number one seed might be the home school.
Could be.
Yeah, okay. So
let's hope not, but
yeah,
it could be.
We'll keep you updated on that.
You know what? When we signed up and we went to Fresno State, this was something that was on the table, above board. If our programs need the facilities, then obviously we have to relinquish it. And I'm okay with it. Jim Critchlow's okay with it. You know, it's such an honor to be able to use those facilities, give those student athletes such a great send off to the, you know, their last game of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go back and you want to talk about the rankings and everything else, I think so far we don't give enough credit to whomever is doing it, because when the finals come down, the semifinals come down, how common is it to see 1, 2, 3, and 4 or 1, 2, 3, 5?
Yeah, we're not talking about other sporting events and other professional ranks and everything. In the world of high school, it's not that difficult to get the thing seated correctly. And, Bobby, you're absolutely right, as always. Bob K. Jane, for all you do in the world of athletics in our community, we thank you.
And he'll be back next for, Thursday.
And staying in the game. When people ask me, you tossed me before one of these times, ask, why do I say get in the game?
Yeah.
I say it for guys like Bob K. Ajani, and he's still in the game. Stay in the game and get in the game with Bobby K.
Aaron Hall coming up next from the Minarets Mustangs. It's Military Appreciation Day.
Yep, and I see Scott McKinney and the boys are coming in here for the fan fundraiser going on golf tournament.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back live. This is the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Chazere has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. This is the Rise Show for your Thursday. Tony D coming up next. The Pag Meter, Matty J. Matt, Fashion Furniture, rocking and rolling. It's springtime. It's going to be summertime. Get your house ready. This is where it starts.
Yeah, might I suggest the reclining furniture section. Some of the finest. No more is there that one part of the sofa that reclines, but no one gets the other part of it. Now the sofa is completely reclined, so no one sitting in the middle gets left out of the idea of raising their feet.
Yeah, but Pag Meter, we got 3 kids. We can't come down. You know, they got you covered. They got a game room for the kids. You can go shop. They got a TV, the games. They got it covered.
Yep. Nick was in there playing Houston Ladders right before we got back.
I'm here about 9:30 this morning playing for a few hours. They got so many great toys for the Pag Meter. Let's go to Minarets right now. The one of the best pitchers in the Valley, Aaron Hall, on the line. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm pretty great. How are you guys doing?
Great. Aaron, let's go back. March the 4th.
Oh, this is big.
And the biggest upset in the history of high school baseball, Division 5, but ranked number 1 in Division 5, the Minarets Mustangs taking on the big, bad, powerful Broncos of Clovis North. You're going to the stadium. Tell us about that bus ride to Clovis North. What was it like for that team, for your team?
You know, on that bus ride, just heading over to the game, for us it was just all about knowing that we were going out there and we just had to play with nothing to lose. No one really expected us to be able to go and even really put up a fight. And so we're all just kind of getting and we're just like, let's just give it everything we got. Just come out with fire and see if maybe we can catch them a little bit off guard, which I think we might have.
and Aaron Hall gets the win, and they beat Clovis North in the biggest upset in history of baseball, 6-2. And when you take down the number one team at the time in the Valley, how was that bus ride home?
Oh, gosh. We were all ecstatic. I think for about the next week, I mean, it was kind of getting talked about at school because it was like, it was kind of one of the first times, I mean, our school had ever even taken on and faced a Division I team, let alone the top dog in D1.
Now, Aaron, you obviously, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're top of the food chain, 10 in the world of pitching in our valley. Did you have your best stuff that night? Did you know that it was magical, or you struggled a little bit and then you got the groove going?
You know, actually, I would say pretty much everything was on. Location was coming perfect. My off-speed was. My focus going into it was that there was no way I was going to be able to blow a pitch by anybody from Clovis North, given they had just faced, I want to say it was Turlock, and they saw a pitcher throwing 92, 93, and I'm sitting there, yeah, not going to blow it by him, so I had to go and resort to focusing on my location and off-speed.
Well, I'm sure your focus is very good. The Pagmeter and I have spent some time in the summer visiting your football coach and other coaches up there at your school. And you probably used to seeing a few rattlesnakes. I'm sure your composure is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The rattlesnakes are always fun. We get a few at the baseball field every now and then.
So, talking with Aaron Hall, he plays for the Minarets Mustang, ranked number one in Division Five. Right now, I've got you in the number one seed. Now, tell me, you got a big game today. You're taking on Orange Cove, but it's Military Appreciation Day. Pagmeter's heading up the hill to help out. What am I going to be going into?
You know, it's really just going to be kind of, I'm hoping maybe a little bit surprising once you get here. You know, a lot of the time we just get a kind of a few fans here and there, maybe just some parents, maybe a few students. But when it comes to this game, we've been putting on for 4 years, the whole community gets out here. I mean, last year I think we had some 200 people coming out to the game, and we don't have any stadium seating out here. So it's just the whole community comes together, and it just makes it for a wonderful experience for both the players on the field and I think for everyone watching as well.
Hey, Aaron, I got to ask you because you're one of the, like Matt said, you're one of the top pitchers in the Valley, and it seems like when you're a top pitcher, you got to go to the big schools. You stayed with Minarets. Why did you stay? Because a lot of guys would have moved on.
You know, I stayed for a few reasons. One of the greatest reasons is that Minarets, it's a lot different than other high schools. They truly believe in trying to kind of prepare you for the real world through project-based learning. So rather than, you know, where most schools have all of their final tests and everything, we're creating projects that we then have to present, and it builds a lot of our different communication skills. And just between all of the involvement, it allowed me to grow more as an individual than I think I would have necessarily been able to at a larger school.
And, of course, you're looking to go to West Point.
That's
big. That's huge. Tell us about that decision.
You know, ever since I was little, I got to hear the stories of when my dad actually went to West Point. And, you know, he wasn't any baseball player. Actually, he didn't really even like baseball until I kind of fell in love with it. But it ended up just going being one of those things that I always wanted to end up going and serving my country in the military. And just hearing all the stories from West Point, I just wanted to work from that. And ultimately, I guess it ended up working out because in January I found out that I'd been accepted and the baseball team wanted me, and I was on cloud nine.
Aaron, without any hesitation, I can tell you that you are in the spirit of communication and your ability to enunciate your words and talk clearly on radio, and you're just a high school kid, clearly tells me that you've been preparing your whole life for big moments, not just on the athletic fields. Tell us about school. What are your favorite subjects? And give us a shout-out over there at Minarets to one of your teachers that stands out who's helped mentor you along the way.
Yeah, some of the subjects I really enjoy are math, but primarily math. But I would say the teacher that's probably had the biggest impact on my life here at Minarets would be Mr. Robert Kelly. He's my history teacher. I've had him for the past 2 years. I've taken AP U.S. History and then also AP Economics and Government with him. And just the values and the way he teaches, you know, where sometimes you kids will have a difficulty being able to learn and retain the information that they're, you know, getting from their teacher without putting in, you know, tons of hours. He actually inspires his students and
gains your attention when he's lecturing, when he is simply giving us different projects, that, and it's always really appreciated. Like, I appreciate it so much because I've learned so much in that class, and it has prepared me so much for any rigorous academics I'll go through at West Point.
Well, Aaron, that's awesome, man. Shout out to Mr. Kelly at Minarets.
Well, Aaron, I'm excited to see you guys in a little while. I'm going to be heading up the hill. Thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You got it, Aaron Hall. All right, Aaron. Let's go right now, right down the road, not too far away from Minarets. Right down, I think it would be 145, Madera High School. Scott McKinney's in the house, got a big tournament this weekend. Coach Scott, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited about our fan tournament that's coming up on Saturday. It's the second year we've done it. It benefits Madera Fan, which is the Foundation for Athletic Needs, which was established in 2007 when Madera South came in to our one high school town. It put a tremendous amount of stress on some businesses that had continually supported Madera High School. In all fairness, those businesses get hit pretty hard on a regular basis. You know, I have a buddy that owns a concrete business in Madera, and he's, you know, four or five times a day with a soccer program or a travel baseball team. And, you know, to sustain a business, you can only do so much. So FAN gives these businesses an opportunity to make one fairly large donation every year and keep the association going, and provides funding for both Madera and Madera South High School equally. And another arm of the FAN organization is that they support and maintain the Madera Athletic Hall of Fame. And I'm real excited that we get a lot of those Hall of Famers out for our golf tournament on Saturday, many of which that are from around my era or when I was a junior high kid or elementary kid, the guys that I saw on the football field and basketball courts and baseball fields. It's kind of a cool deal for me to get involved with.
The Madera Legends were out there last year, and I know Matt and I played last year. We didn't win it, Matt, but we ate more hot dogs than anybody else.
Yeah, and I think we had more. I think we were heavily involved in the dessert auction stage, too. I made some bids. I at some point, the $200 cookie tray that I was bidding on was, I think maybe my wife texted me, like, hey, you're going to bring some cookies home, right? I didn't get that, though. I almost got it. But the thing that is amazing to me, Pagmuner, of course, Coach Scott McKinney, and you're one of those legendary athletes in this valley. Very unique, coming from Fresno Unified, and there's nothing wrong with Fresno Unified, but when I came over to Madera South, I saw all of this collective group of people that help raise money, because in the world of coaching football, and you've coached football, fundraising is, you know, equally as large as basically the X's and O's of actually getting ready to play football. You always need money. And to find a community and a school district and people like yourself keeping this FAN thing going and other avenues to raise money for the sports, I think that is amazing, Nick, that I've never been associated with a group. And I ask, you know, my athletic director, well, we got to get them. Well, some of the fundraising, go do your fundraising, but a lot of the fundraising is done by outside agencies. They feel they need, the coaches need to devote themselves to mentoring and coaching as opposed to being out on the streets and trying to raise all this money. That's something that, did you have that when you were young? How long has this been going on?
Well, with FAN, it's been since 2007, which, you know, it's sure nice for a coach to have that check given,
yep,
to him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, somebody told me at a coaching clinic once, you can have one large fundraiser and one small fundraiser a year, and then you got a coach. But I agree, it can be time-consuming with that. And it's just, this a tournament is just very exciting to me, to get these guys that want to give back, to have the Mark Barsotti out at your tournament and the Smith brothers and Robbie Swordeye, one of our great wrestlers, to have a connection still to our community and to our athletic events. That's what's really special to me. The golf tournament's kind of secondary, but, you know, we play a 9-hole tournament, and you're in and out of there in 2.5 hours, and I appreciated just seeing these guys interact with each other last year and being energized with the way they were talking about Madera and, yeah, what we have. And it's very unique, you know. We get Madera South coaches out there, Madera High coaches, so it's a fun event.
We're hoping to start bringing a little bit more of the Madera South clan out there. you and I walked into it, and it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of blue on this golf course.
They didn't like you at all.
They looked like, what are they doing here?
This is a Madera.
No, they don't like you, Matt.
Yeah, so,
I know you're kidding.
Scott McKinney
you're
in
not
the house.
Kidding.
So, Scott, tell us, how do people get involved? Are you still looking for players? Sponsors?
Yeah, you know, last year we were very well received. We have room for some more this year. If you'd like to contact me, you can call me at 559-978-4164. You can drop me an email. Just go through Madera High School's website. Send me an email you'd like to play. It's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Get a great tri-tip sandwich to start the day off. And we have hole-in-one closest to the pin, hole-in-one, long drive, all the bells and whistles of a tournament. And we promise you to have a good time out at Madera Golf and Country Club.
And if anyone's listening, man, I don't know if our foursome's filled up. If we're looking for two golfers to play
well,
with Nick and Matt.
Well, our foursome stopped, but we're trying to put another foursome together.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, our foursome is tied up. Although, when we get there, you and I might shovel off with the other two. But we have four already in. And there's openings all over the place.
But if we get a good sponsor to play with Nick and Matt, we're looking for it. We'd love to play with you, right?
Yeah, and based on some of the footage of the swing that these guys had last year, you might get picked up as a free agent this year.
Wouldn't mind a ringer in there. Because what? Wait, hold on. Nick Watney's on the line?
I'm not playing. I'm just going to ride in the cart and enjoy
the
festivities.
Wait, Bryce and DeChambeau's on the line? We might get those guys. Is that okay to have those guys?
Yeah. Why not? Right? Brian Nova and pull up some of my old school friends.
Okay, where's the tournament? Is that the Madera Country Club?
Madera Golf and Country Club.
Awesome course.
It's in really nice shape right now. Greens
awesome
are
course.
In great shape. Fairways have come in very nicely, so we're gonna have a good time.
Okay, Madera, I'm challenging you. Some of the businesses out there who want to be involved with this tournament. Scott McKinney is looking for some sponsors, right?
Absolutely.
Call him at 978-4164, 978-4164. We're looking for golfers, and it's only going to be 78 degrees.
Beautiful day.
Last year was 104.
And also, on behalf of ESPN and what we do, congratulate. Thanks to you, Coach McKinney, because I kind of gathered from last year that you're the one who stepped up. I'd like to continue to make sure that we have leadership of continuing this to move forward. So without the hard work and the dedication that you've put forth, who knows? Some of these type events go bye-bye if someone's not there to keep them going. So you and the guys who help you out, man, hats off to you.
It's been a pleasure to do.
Your daughter sure had a good year in high school golf.
Well, my daughter actually won a Valley Championship at San Joaquin Memorial.
There you go.
And she's got, they won it again last year after she had graduated, so.
Three-peat, I believe it's a three-peat, right?
Yes, the Memorial Golf Dynasty.
They got it going on over there. It's unbelievable, this golf. I mean, but you're one of the good guys out there. We love you, and we can't wait to be out there on Saturday. Matt, I haven't picked up a club since last year in your tournament, so I've got to go hit golf balls on maybe Friday.
There's no time like right now to get to pull the clubs out and figure it out before we start on Saturday.
Well, you can't play without a really good blister, right?
Yeah, don't embarrass me like you did last year, please.
What happened last year?
You maybe contributed one shot, maybe two. That's not good. I don't like for you to step up a little bit.
Yeah,
I talk a good game, but it's time for you to start playing.
I put Matt on video last year. How'd that work out?
It worked well.
Yeah.
Went all the way back to the East Coast, got a wind of it. I got calls from guys in the Jets organization. Saw your golf swing the other day. Looking good, Johnson. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. Scott, again, 978-4164 is your number. We're looking for golfers and maybe some sponsors of Madera out there, right?
Absolutely.
Scott, thank you so much for coming on in today. Hey, you know what? We're going to take a break, come back. Jim Critchlow wants to call in the show. He's got some info
Love
for
to
us.
Hear from him.
Don't go anywhere. Jim Critchlow, the CIF commish, is going to be on the phone when we come back on 940 ESPN.
Number one right here at Fashion Furniture. We'll be back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, everybody, live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson, Scott McKinney in the house. Madera Golf Tournament. It's a lot of fun out there. It'll be perfect weather.
It is. A very well-run tournament. No hitches. I like the idea when you show up first, you eat, and you socialize, and you buy tickets for the contest and all everything going on, and then you take a little time and you go out and you play nine holes. Some of these 18-hole tournaments that you and I have been involved in, it's all day and you're finally done. You don't want to sit in the clubhouse for another 2 hours of festivities. It just doesn't work that way.
I know one guy we can get to play golf.
Yes, indeed.
He's a ringer. He's a one-handicapper.
He'd be my ringer.
Jim Critchlow's on the line, the commissioner of our high school in our area. Jim, how are you today?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Jim, we're looking for a team. We're playing in the Madera tournament on Saturday. We need a ringer.
Okay, Nick Watney's not available, nor am I. I've got baseball, softball, sitting. I would love to play, but
that's true.
I got duty calls.
Well, Jim, thanks for calling in because we talked briefly in this track situation with Calabas, and they were disqualified.
Calabasas.
What's the latest? What have we missed on this one?
Well, under the NFHS rule book, there's a couple things. If an athlete is entered in five events and it's caught ahead of time, they take the list of order of events and scratch him on his fifth competition, so he wouldn't happen. If indeed he does compete, all of his points for that day are done away with, and he forfeits his points in that meet, but he's able to compete it in his next meet. So maybe they have a different rule in the southern section or Calabasas or something, but under the NFHS rule, he's still eligible or she's still eligible for competition in track the rest of the year.
Well, that's a part of it, Jim, and good talking with you, Jim. Thank you so much for helping clear that up. But according to the reports out of Ventura and Los Angeles Daily News and the Ventura County Star, they're claiming that they're done. They forfeit all of the rest of the season, and they're out for all postseason.
I've got the rule book right here in my hand, and I just read it out of 411. But that's interesting because, as I said, right here in the rule book, it doesn't state that at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's awfully it's severe punishment for that.
Totally.
But they've gone on public record and they are being disqualified from here on out. They're done.
Wow.
Well, maybe that's bad printing on their part. Maybe it's not the rule. Maybe they came out before they saw Jim Critchlow's rule.
Yeah, right.
Anything's possible. I think we've figured one thing out in this country to this point that. Can't always just trust all what the news reports are, but right now there's two big news agencies who've declared that they are disqualified for the rest of the season, including postseason, for getting involved. And by the way, how does the rule work, Jim? Apparently their track meet, their league championships of their Miramonte League, I believe, are on two separate dates. So clearly, if it's one track meet, even though it's spread out through preliminaries on one day and then they come back a couple days later and run the finals, that still counts as one track meet?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. And then the other question I have is we've got several athletes, and I haven't seen this that much. Maybe I wasn't looking into it, but what is the ruling on an athlete participating, as an example, in one sport, let's say track and field, and then they also compete in the same time frame as swimming and diving? Are you allowed to compete on your high school with two different sports during the same season?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes, that is a total school decision. The only caveat is that a student is allowed 18 hours of practice or a competition in a week. A track meet, for example, is considered 2 hours. A swim meet is 2 hours. So there's 4 hours. So that leaves you 14 hours of practice or whatever.
Sure.
So it's totally a school decision as to whether or not to allow kids to play baseball, golf, swim, track, whatever.
So we're talking with Jim Critchlow. Also, but a winter sport has to end before you can play in a spring sport?
No. We have multiple times where we've had basketball players and wrestlers go out and play baseball or run in a track meet if the meet's that early when they're still competing in the winter.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Soccer.
Yeah, that one cleared up the pack meter
report. So it's got to be a coach's decision. Maybe the basketball coach doesn't want them to play in a baseball game, you know, whatever the case may be.
Correct, yes.
Right.
And when I was coaching softball eons ago, I wouldn't let the girls play in club volleyball because I was afraid they'd get in there and twist an ankle or throw out their shoulder or something, and then we'd lose them for baseball or softball. So it's a total coach's decision.
Well, I have an extensive history in the world of track and field, Coach, as do you, Mr. Critchlow. Since when have you ever been to a track meet that went 2 hours?
That's all we give them. we don't charge them three or four. I totally understand. It's a three-ring circus.
I tell all my other football coaches, you need to get your athletes and go get them out there on the track and field. But let me forewarn you, these are long, long, long days and evenings.
They surely can be.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Jim Critchlow, we got a big day on Saturday, the seedings. Now, tell us about how you decide where it's going where. Is it the coach's decision, or you have a committee, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. The coaches, there is a committee. The three area supervisors, myself and Jeff, sit here and go through everything. The coaches' recommendations are just one of seven criteria that we use to determine the number 1 through 16 seed. Head-to-head, strength of schedule, max preps ranking, record versus common opponent, place in the same league if that one exists. Those are all taken into consideration, not just who the coaches think should be 1 through 16. And it takes us quite a while to do baseball, softball, basketball, soccer, whatever sport we're doing. So it's a little bit more than just looking at the coach's side of it.
Well, I like it. It's always I like what you guys are doing. You look at what the coaches, because a lot of times, for example, Riverdale has never seen Boron. I'm sorry, but they don't play in the same league. They have never. They don't even know where they're at. So it's tough to ask a school to rank teams in the division. And so that's why I think we need to go all the way down A, B, C, D like you're doing.
Well, that's what we've been doing before. And, of course, as you guys were talking earlier, we caught heck for it because we were never right according to the coaches. Now we've added the coaches, and there hasn't been a whole lot of change. But at least they get their say in it. My first years here, we had the committee, but we had football come in. All the coaches would come in and present their case. Well, that was brutal. Oh. There were almost fights.
Classic.
Oh, it was terrible. So we went away from that. But we do always have a committee, so it's not just coaches.
And the last thing before we let you go, Jim, the divisional changes are happening, and teams have until May 3rd to come back and say, no, we don't like it.
Right, correct. There's 9 criteria that they have to answer questions. They don't have to, all of them have to be positive in their behalf, but they do have to answer 9 criteria, and those are all due tomorrow by noon. And then we'll take a look at them the next week or so and either approve them or deny and be ready to go for the fall, just the fall next year.
Yeah, Madera South Football, he just told me he wants to be Division I.
Yeah, we looked at that, and we're still considering.
Thanks for that, Nick Papagni. I'll take care of him after I leave you. Jim Critchlow, our esteemed leader, great job.
Well, we got one last question.
Oh,
softball.
Okay.
We want to know, we might have to change, and I'm sad about hearing that, but what's the latest with that?
Well, as Bob said, it's up in the air, and he also mentioned, and it's a point well taken and pointed out, that we're at the mercy of Fresno State and everything. Water polo is at Fresno State, but if they have a home football game on that weekend, we have to move because they use that area for tailgating. We'd love to have football at Fresno State, but that's also either a home game or the possible Mountain West Championship, same weekend we play. So with softball, baseball, we understand it. We really love our partnership with them. Hope we can keep it going. But it is what it is. And if we have to move back to single site venue or from single site venue to highest seed for 1 year, we'll do that. And you know, just do the best we can to make it a good show for everybody.
Well, keep up the great work, Jim, and best of luck on Saturday.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. You guys have a good rest of the show.
You got it. Jim Critchlow. They got a big one because, you know, it depends.
We got to have Jim on more as a regular guest to kind of clear the things up.
Yeah. Well, they listen because they know you're a loose cannon. So
yeah,
we make sure,
I gather that.
Yeah.
I
they want to make that. Sure that you keep on top of your game. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about seedings.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a little clinic coming up, a sports performance clinic that we'll talk about. We had them on last week.
And seedings.
Yep. And seedings.
And seedings. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's number one unquestioned leader of all sports. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live at the Rise Show, Fashion Furniture. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson. And it's official. Even Bobby chimed in on it. That's the worst ruling of any sport ever. The track and field, where they entered five events, Calabasas, and they're out. Maybe, hopefully, Jim Critchlow can make the phone call and get the girls back in. Because they're a big time.
Well, they're clearly,
they're really good.
The two girls in question, hurdle-wise and sprint-wise, are two of the best in the state. They're 4x1 relay team, best in the state. They will not compete.
Let's throw it out
but
there.
But then, no, the southern section, as Jim said, that's how it is for our central section. The southern section might operate under some other guise of something because, clearly,
that's the second dumbest
they got a bad ruling.
Second dumbest rule in the history of sports.
You're not. You are taking away. You are taking away from someone's God-given, inalienable right to be the greatest athlete ever. So if I can run faster than anyone, all the way up to 400 meters, I'm going to run the one, the two, I'm going to run the 4x1 relay, and I'm going to finish out with the mile relay, the 4x4, to finish the track meet off. In between, you know what? I just took up pole vaulting, and as a girl, I can jump 13 feet. I only need one attempt. I get my mark down 13, I win that event. I go over to the long jump, I get my mark right, I go one time, I jump 20 feet, I win that event, and then I wait for the triple jump to start. I could theoretically, being a track guy, I'm well aware of track, how it works. If you're that kind of athlete, you could easily get involved in six or seven events if you're that good. And not do any harm to your body.
That's like baseball. Well, we know Johnny's a good shortstop, but we can't let him catch because the CIF rule says you can't catch and play shortstop because there's too much on little Johnny's body. So we don't want him to play catcher, too. So we'll just have him play shortstop.
We just literally got off the phone with Jim Critchlow, who clearly called in because
you're a loose cannon.
You upset him a lot.
You're
obviously
a loose cannon.
And then you can. Anyone else you want to throw out there? Every time you throw out the word,
I'm talking about the southern section.
I understand that, but every time you bring out the CIF, our good friend and our commissioner, who's been doing a fabulous job for all these years, he's linked to that group. So you're basically throwing him under the bus, too, when you bring up these CIF directives. Well, apparently, there is no shortstop to catch a rule. Nick made that
I'm
up.
Just comparing track. That's the same comparison.
It's not. They
well,
are the
Jim,
pitch count. You want to compare apples to apples.
Jim, if you're
the
listening.
The pitch count that high schoolers have on their arm, that's for safety, trying to keep the health of the athlete paramount. The four events, and you can't do five events, was clearly written to prohibit the athlete from doing too much and harming their body.
It's ridiculous.
Now, on that rule, though, I say hogwash on that. If you are somebody, common sense will tell you, if you can be involved in that many events and you're proficient at it, we might want that story
like,
to be told.
A guy like Daniel Whittemore, the superstar quarterback.
One of my favorite guys, Daniel
Whittemore. Would warm up at 110 pitches. That's when he gets loose. So that's a dumb rule, too. Don't get me started. Let's talk about the seating. Let's talk
about
baseball.
How about AB1, the new policy now? They're going to throw through the California Assembly, and they're going to make it happen. And that has to do with youth football and the limited amount of more actually, the rule, by the way, I don't know if you've been following this at all, Nick. You say it has no chance of getting through. I think you forget that you live in the state of California, anything that comes from that agenda is going to get through. But overall, I've read that, and it was sent to me by Justin Byrne, a great coach out at West Hills, great head football coach. I read through it. There's nothing in there language-wise that's any different than what we exercise today. The ability to have your coaches trained on what constitutes a concussion, that's paramount. The ability to have first aid and CPR training so you're available at a moment's notice is paramount. The ability to work the automatic defibrillator device and know what the heck you're doing on electronic, you need to know that. There's nothing in there other than what we already have for high school, which is we're going to limit full contact hitting drills 2 times a week is all you're allowed to do it.
Well, let's run through these seedings. I know you have a lot of coffee and we can't get you to stop talking today, but let's try it. Baseball.
I thought that was on our agenda. We were going to talk about AB1 and the rule to prohibit the youth football players from doing too much of anything.
We need a 3-hour show.
We do.
Yes, no doubt about it. Division One, the Valley Championship Division. Clearly, Buchanan Barons will be the number one seed. They're the track champs. The number two seed, they play Clovis North tonight. I've got Clovis North at number two, Liberty at number three, and then it gets a little scary at number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Frontier maybe 4. Rigetti is the Mountain West Mountain League champion. They beat San Luis Obispo. Clovis West plays in a big one tonight. And by the way, James Patrick, his last regular season game after 32 years. Legendary guy's going to retire,
deal.
James Patrick.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And so it'll be a matter of, will Clovis get a 6? And then the loser of Mike Clovis West could get a 7 seed. And then, so Division 1 could be all over the place, but I do know Buchanan will be the number 1 seed. In Division 2, it's a battle between Sanger and Memorial. Now, Sanger will be the CMAC champions if they win, if they beat Bullard today. On the tiebreaker, they beat Memorial 2 out of 3. Memorial will be the 2 seed, or strength of schedule. What do you give? Do you go more strength of schedule?
Well, I base it on, is Jalen McMillan available to play center fielder for Memorial Panthers? Or is he just strictly track and field now?
No, they got Mac Delaney playing center fielder.
Okay,
he's even better.
We can put him out of right field or something. That, to me, is a huge factor that was taken off the Memorial lineup. But either way, he's running track. He's going to do sensational. I think you've got it right. Sanger 1 and Memorial 2.
And then you got Fresno High, Arroyo Grande, and Porterville, Bakersfield, Madera, El Diamante battling. So Division 2 is going to be fun. And, again, that's Friday night, and we'll have that game on the radio. Division 3, Highland I have number 1 right now. Selma 2, Emmanuel 3, Mission Preps 4. That's going to be a battle as well. Highland is on fire. Division 4, Sierra Pacific. Now, they don't have their ace. Will Springer's done for the year. He's shutting it down. So Exeter, Taft, Menachie, Fowler will be battling. But Division 4 will be fun. Division 5, I'm heading out to Minarets. I've got them number 1 seed. Liberty Madera Ranchos at the number 2 seed. Corcoran, 3 right there, along with Rosamont, Carruthers, Kalinga. Division 6, it's going to be a battle with Fresno Christian, Bishop, Strathmore, Riverdale, and also get to see Orange Cove today. Any thoughts on that?
No, I like Fresno Christian. They're head and shoulders, I believe, at a different level.
They have played a tough schedule. Way to go, Matt. Let's go with softball. Buchanan plays Clovis North tonight. If they win, they're the track champs, and they will be the number 1 seed. Clovis North win, then it could get interesting. Stockdale's battling for that number 2 seed, along with Clovis and Clovis North. So we got to get you out watching softball. Buchanan Bears can swing the bats. Division 2, the number 1 seed is going to be between Hanford and Kingsburg, and the 3 and 4 seed will be between Independence and Redwood. Division 3, Dinuba, who beat Bullard twice, is clearly the number 1 seed. Selma will battle as well. That should be a good one if they end up at Fresno State or wherever they got to play. I'm hoping it's at Fresno State. Division 4, hands down, Dos Palos and Exeter and Chowchilla will battle for that number 2 seed. Division 5, Highland and Shafter will be the 1 and 2 seed, I think. In Division 6, CVC, and here's what's interesting, Matt. CVC has played 10 times tougher schedule than Bakersfield Christian and South. I got them at the number 1 seed, but South and Bakersfield Christian. Now, South beat Bakersfield Christian. Bakersfield Christian beat CVC, so it'll be interesting. What do you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? Continue. I mean, you're nailing it. I have nothing
well,
to add
you
to
got,
that.
Before we get out of here, you got a football camp we want to talk about before
well,
we go?
Well, I do, but we got just a moment here, but I wanted to talk about, a lot of volleyball action happening right now.
Yeah, give
Division
me some
one,
volleyball.
Division 2 and,
go.
In volleyball, we know that, Clovis North is legit, more than legit, nationally ranked. They're getting it done, and I see them moving forward, but they'll have a little competition, clearly, from the Clovis Cougars, and I think that you're probably going to have a little something to be talked about in Division 1. In Division 2, number 1 seed Madera South Stallions play tonight. St. Joseph's out of Santa Maria comes to Madera South gym. They get through that. The Edison Tigers upset Central. Central was the 2 seed by our books, 1 and 2. Was Madera South 1 and Central 2. They got upset by Edison. So Edison's waiting on the winner of tonight's matchup for the championship will be probably Madera South playing Edison to move forward.
I don't know. St. Joseph is listening in the bus right now. You gave him a little chalkboard talk.
Yeah, they do. And they're a fine volleyball club, but they've common opponents. Hoover gave them fits. Actually lost that match to Hoover. Madera South won handily over that. I think when it push comes to shove, Madera South will be playing Edison for the championship. Tomorrow they play for the championship.
I think it's exciting to have the Central Coast teams in with us, don't you think?
They're more talent, especially in the world of track and field. They bring a whole host of great athletes to the Valley. As far as the football clinic, we had last show we had on Johnny Johnson and talking about Johnny Johnson Jr., the defensive back, and then Jalen Johnson, the Utah All-American defensive back. We kind of got into what he started, which is really a skills development group, a transformational type clinic. And I'm going to give you the information on that one more time. That's Elite Athletic Transformation Skills Development Camp, May 11th. May 11th.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. That's $15 per person. The Elite Athletic Transformation Skills Development Camp, May 11th, 2019. Jalen Johnson, the All-American, All-Pac-12 defensive back from Central High School, will be there to talk to the young kids. Cost is $15 per person. If you're interested, sign up at EAT, that's eatcamp.eventbrite.com. That's eatcamp.eventbrite.com. Get all the information you need to get involved in a great, great atmosphere of learning skills. By the way, camp location is at San Joaquin Memorial High School. That's May 11th. Out at San Joaquin Memorial High School.
And you still have time, Matt, to get to the city-county basketball game that afternoon. So
that's right.
Which it'll start at 2, but there's games all the way through 10 o'clock that night at Bullard High School, the city-county. But yep. I want to give a little love and a shout-out to all the seniors who are playing senior night tonight. A lot of them are you know, they're going to still play in the playoffs. Some won't. But enjoy the moment. And what do you tell the seniors, because you've been doing this for a long time, the seniors that might never play again?
Well, leave anything for chance. Obviously, very appreciative of their service to the school and to their community and everything else that goes along with it. But same thing you would tell someone every time they step on the field of play or on the courts around America is lay it out there. You never know when this might be your last opportunity to ever lace them up or suit up or do anything again in the world of high school athletics.
That's
don't leave
why.
Anything for chance. Go out and give your best.
You see that in the playoffs when Jim Critchlow will seed everybody and maybe the high seed loses. But they're not expecting to lose, and the seniors go, oh, my gosh, it's over.
Yeah.
My career is over. And they're not, because they think they're going to win that game. I would tell you, seniors, even if you're the favorite, give everything. Do not take anyone lightly. If they're a 16 seed or whatever, you better play all out.
Then
because
the
you
one,
never know.
Yeah. Then the other bit of information I need to give you is just personal between you and I, but why not splash it on the air?
Yeah.
Because you never know when my wife might be listening. You never know. So hopefully she's listening. But my daughter's graduating high school, so June 1st, party at my house, Nick Papagni. You should have got your invitation already in the mail. Well, check your mail today or tomorrow. It'll be there.
Nice. Invitation. McKenna graduating. She made,
she made sure that make sure Nick knows. And if you ever tell him, because I don't believe you talk to him that way, so tell me over the air and I'll listen.
I can't wait.
So I gave that announcement up.
I also want to thank my committee, or not committee, my PagMeter Nation. The Man of the Year deal is over for the Lymphoma Society. And this is some of the people I want to thank because it was fantastic on Friday night on the dinner. I want to thank Mike Garabedian, Mr. Clovis West, Valley Welding, came through big. BMC West from Chris Johnson over there. Louis Brosi from the Fieldhouse came through. Quick Signs, Chris Pacheco helping out. Pappies, Eddie Papoulias, Pappy, great. They loved your baskets, by the way. First String Sports, Crybaby Wine, Joe Guerrero, Marlena, outstanding. Fresno Ag. Bobby Kajanian gave me the Ricky Henderson bobble legs doll. Fashion furniture. Rod Avedikian. Matt Johnson, thank you so much.
How about your friend up on the hill, the trips up there to the treehouse?
Rusty.
And, yeah.
The Yosemite Athletic
Director.
And the
booth's overnight stay that I bid on and won that one, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a fun night. I think it's over.
Yeah, you did well. You raised $1.7 million. I think you're the guy we need to go to from here on out.
I want to thank Tessa. My daughter came through as well for Tater Nation. So it was a lot of fun. And we want to give a little bow out to Betsy, who's leaving the Fresno area. Bobby's a little sad today. He's got that fake smile going, but Bobby's a little sad. But you know what?
Well, career.
We all have FaceTime on your phone.
It's not a sad time. It's a time to rejoice and be happy. You're moving on, and you're going to continue your career.
Yes.
Career-minded. How about McLean? How about Fresno Unified? Let's give them some credit, too, for doing the renovation to McLean Football Stadium. They're bringing in the full field turf. And now we'll be able to accept the 3,000 plays per day that they put on that field. What a tremendous job they did keeping that field up to speed with all the soccer and football and youth football on the weekends, everything else. But McLean High School, Fresno Unified, great job, Fresno Unified.
Will Sunnyside be next?
Bring it. Possibly, yeah. Why not?
Why not? And I think
my school's getting it in right now. It's under construction at Madera South.
Our goal is to push for another stadium. I think we need one more stadium here in Fresno. There's seven schools battling.
Clovis needs another stadium, too.
There's a lot of activity. Just think about it. If you build a new high school and you don't have a stadium, you said it before, how in the world do you build this new school without a stadium with so much to do with that on that stadium? From soccer, You got
it. Really goes to show you, though, the sign of the times. From the moment your parents were alive, my parents, then when we came up and played, part of the lure of your high school was you're at home and you march right out of the locker room onto your football field. Well, no one seems to have that luxury anymore.
Bakersfield does it right. Everyone has a stadium in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
That's
I thought that was just hand in hand. High school campus, and then there's the athletic programs of baseball and soccer fields, and, of course, indoor gymnasium, swimming pool if you have that luxury. And, of course, there's a stadium for football. That's where you graduate from. That's where you bleed, you sweat, and you tears, right there on your home field of your high school.
You're right. You watch the old Friday Night Lights, and when they come out of the locker room, and there's the big 3,500 people in the stadium. They're right there.
My high school had a drawbridge that lowered underneath the bat. It was a big thing, a set that they moved in, and we marched on because we were the Trojans of Castle Park, and we marched down to the stadium. As they lowered the drawbridge, we hit the field.
Dinuba's pretty good.
Dinuba's probably the best
pregame. They walked through the grand entrance.
The Harleys, the whole thing. That's pomp and circumstance.
Hallelujah. That's another one. Text or Twitter with the PAG meter. I want to find out what you... I mean, Sanger Apaches are pretty good coming in with their tunnel with the fog.
Well, people
and
are in this big mode right now, Nick, to talk about, you know, how do we get the attendance levels up at Fresno State events and all that. And you do the best you can. You try to do everything you can. The student body doesn't have spirit. That's the bottom line. Fresno State, the student body, does not have the kind of spirit. When you talk about the colleges in the blue states, they have some spirit. High school still has spirit. There is still a spirit on campus for the student body to galvanize themselves around the girls' or the boys' athletic programs and get out and be a part of it. College has lost that.
I thought about that. You're right. The other night when I was at Clovis North Buchanan Baseball, at Clovis North, beautiful stadium, almost packed. It's, I mean, you almost could barely fit everyone in there with so many people. But down the road, Fresno State, it was a big game playing Cal Poly, and that should have been packed. But it's not. And I don't, you're right.
We've gone back and forth. Every station under the sun talks about it. The bottom line is student body.
Student body.
Student body. You can talk all you want about Red Wave. They got it. Well, the Red Wave. That. No. Student body creates the atmosphere. Student body is the culture. Student body creates the spirit on campus. And if the student body's not showing up, there's your problem.
Well, you're right. It's not just Fresno State. It's all California. You're absolutely right. You go to the blue states, and it's a religion. You know, when I went to Lafayette, Louisiana, watched Longhorns play Louisiana, it was 10,000 people on a Sunday afternoon, and there was a lot of students there, a lot of spirit. God, you're on fire today.
Well, we try to figure solutions. We've talked about advertising, marketing billboards, which, by the way, we need to continue to talk about. Let's get the marketing billboards up. You've got a lot of concrete that's built that will never be completed, so let's put the billboards right across that concrete thing they call the monorail, okay, the high-speed facade that they've got built in there. And then someone on another station this morning, too, I was driving to work, talking about, oh, you know, they have to complete it. Well, because those pieces of concrete will just be sites for graffiti. Well, when they do complete it, there'll be no train, but we'll have more concrete for more graffiti. Let's stop this madness right now.
We've been saying it for 3 years, but I think we need to find a place where we recycle cement.
Yes.
Blow it all up, recycle the little baby cement.
Because I need some gravel in my backyard down this little drainage area. I could use some of that concrete.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's do it.
Hey, I want to thank Russ, Bobby Boy, Tony D coming up next, Bobby K, Scott McKinney. We have Jim Critchlow on today and Aaron Hall. I'm heading to Minarets. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.